is the central message you are trying to convey in this new book of yours?
Well, that faith should lead to joy, basically, and then religion is not meant to be gloomy.
Many people, in fact, might view religion or holy people, those with a strong faith, as often quite gloomy or at least rather dour, serious people. Are you trying to overturn that stereotype in a way?
Well, I'm trying not only to overturn the stereotype, but actually overturn the practice. I think it's just trying to rebalance things a little bit and remind people that for Christians, Christ is risen, which is a joyful message, and that we should be joyful believers.
And what examples do you give in your book of holy people, be they saints, popes, biblical heroes, heroines, or spiritual writers, who have displayed a really good sense of humor in their life and work?
Well, I talk all the way back in the Old Testament. You have people like Abraham and Sarah who are portrayed as laughing. You have Jesus, who had a good sense of humor in his parables. And more recently, I talk about people like Pope John the 23rd, who was a great wit. And there are tons of stories about him laughing and joking with people. So I think I'm trying to overturn the stereotype, not only that the saints were gloomy and dour, but that Jesus was always serious.
And what methods do you use, or how do you try to explain that joy is the inevitable result of faith? Can you give us some actual examples that you use in your book?
Well, I talk a lot about the saints in terms of real-life examples, and as I said, John the 23rd. But you look at someone like St. Philip Neri, who was called in his day the humorous saint, who used to go around Rome with half of his beard shaved to remind himself not to take himself too seriously. And people like St. Catherine Drexel, the great Philadelphia heiress, who once wrote, "Don't ever say that I was miserable. I've always been the most happiest of women." So I think, you read the lives of the saints, and it's very easy to pick out stories and find stories of their humor and their laughter, and more importantly, their joy.
And do you give suggestions as to how we can all use humor to show our faith?
I do. I have, as I call it, 11 and a half serious reasons for good humor. And one of them is not taking yourself too seriously and learning to laugh at yourself. Another is to try to find the humor in our everyday lives. And a third really is to think about some of the stuff I talk about in the book, that the great spiritual masters really themselves used humor and can be examples for us.
And in what other ways can laughter and humor help us all in our daily lives?
Well, I think it puts things into perspective. I think religious people and sometimes even religious leaders have a tendency to take themselves far too seriously. As a friend of mine likes to say, there's good news and better news. The good news is that there's a Messiah. The better news is that it's not you. And we tend to forget that. And I think religious leaders who people put up on pedestals need to remind themselves. And Pope Benedict has said that recently.
Have you yourself always been a happy person, a person with a good sense of humor? Or did you come to realize a bit later on in life just how important this was?
Well, I think I've always been cheerful. Like anyone, I'm not happy all the time. I think joy is something deeper than that. But the book was written really as a response to what I saw as a real deadly seriousness among religious people and a desire to try to recover this idea of joy, humor, and laughter as something not to be embarrassed about, but to look at as virtues in the spiritual life. And once again, if you look through the lives of the saints and even the Bible, you'll find that hidden, but I think that we've been so tempted to see gloominess and dourness as a sort of requirement of religion that we've overlooked that.
What are some of the positive things that you talk about in your book that humor can do for us, apart from the obvious one, of course, of making us laugh and thereby feel happier?
Well, for one thing, it can help us in social relations. I think that anyone who's ever been in a meeting where people are laughing knows that it goes better. Also, when we laugh, we're more able to listen. Laughter is the opposite of the fight or flight response, where we tense up and cannot listen. And so when we're laughing, we're actually more open to hearing things. And I think also just being joyful makes us more grateful for life. You know, joy is a great sign of God's presence, as so many of the spiritual writers have said. So there are multiple ways of looking at the benefits of joy, humor, and laughter.
So I take it this book's got some jokes and amusing anecdotes taken from real life. If so, can you share one or two of them briefly with us?
Sure. I think my favorite ones are from Blessed John the 23rd. whose most famous joke came when a journalist innocently asked him, Your Holiness, how many people work in the Vatican? And he said, of course, about half of them. But another time he was at a dinner party when he was still the nuncio in Paris, and he was seated across from a woman wearing a very low-cut dress. And his secretary said, Your Eminence, what a scandal this is. Everyone is looking at that woman. And Angelo Roncalli, later Pope John the 23rd, said, Well, no one is looking at that woman. Everyone is looking at me to see if I am looking at that woman. So now there's a story that I always tell, and people just laugh and find it wonderful that someone in such a high level of authority could have a sense of humor about himself. And I think, once again, it shows that you can be religious and spiritual and believe in Christ and be a person with a sense of humor.
And of all the people that you talk about in this book as being the good examples of a good sense of humor, you mentioned there Blessed Pope John the 23rd, but is there another one that you really think stands out? And if so, could you say why?
I think besides John the 23rd, it would be Philip Neri. He was known in his lifetime for being funny. As I said, he went around Rome with half of his beard shaved off. He used to wear a cushion on top of his head. He had a sign over his door that said, The House of Christian Mirth. So there's someone who in his lifetime really tried to push this idea of the sense of humor and the sense of joy. He even said, a glad heart is made more perfect more quickly than a sad heart. So there's someone who really, I think, took as one of his missions the idea that it was good to help people laugh and enjoy themselves.
And what feedback so far have you had from those who read the advance copies? What are they saying about it? Have they made any comments to you?
I think people are happy that they're given permission to be joyful. So much of Christian spirituality focuses on suffering, which of course is very important, or on the cross, which is also very important. But it also needs to focus on the joyful parts of Jesus's life and of our life. And I think people, when I give these talks and when I've shown them the book, they're relieved and they're happy. And I've been very delighted myself about that, and that gives me a lot of joy.
So would you say it's a laugh-out-loud book?
I would, because there are plenty of jokes in it and anecdotes in between the more serious scriptural exegesis. As I say in the introduction, it's laughable that a book about humor should be serious. And so it's a very lighthearted book in itself.
And before ending, maybe you could read us an excerpt you could share with our listeners.
Well, here's a great quote from the Holy Father himself. And he wrote in the book, God and the World, I believe God has a great sense of humor. Sometimes he gives you something like a nudge and says, don't take yourself so seriously. Humor is, in fact, an essential element in the mirth of creation. We can see how, in many matters in our lives, God wants to prod us into taking things a bit more lightly, to see the funny side of it, to get down off our pedestal and not to forget our sense of fun.
Okay. Maybe you could also share with us how you sum up all you've been trying to say in the book at the end of it. Maybe it's a joke you end with. I don't know. Can you share it with us anyhow?
Sure. I talk about using joy as a preparation for heaven, because if we understand this life in part as preparation for heaven, and heaven's going to be a joyful place, then why not start enjoying ourselves now?